I believe Jude is the youngest of four stepbrothers of Jesus. And Jude wrote one chapter book. And here's what he said in verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write to you of the common salvation. The common salvation is the glorious declaration of Jesus died for you and for me. And I was excited to share that with you, Jude wrote. But then he said this, but it was needful for me to write unto you and earnestly exhort, plead, that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to you, to us, to the saints. I mean, I want to talk of the love of Jesus. I want to talk of the cross of Calvary and the mystery that it brings to our thinking, why me, why me? But there was something more pressing. I want you, I beg you to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I have something heavy on my heart. God put it there. And the title of the sermon is The Three Threes and Two Twos of Atonement. Atonement. Three threes and two twos of atonement. So I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Leviticus 23, so we can find out and discover why God put this on my heart at this very time. Leviticus 23. Children, open your Bibles. Follow along as we read verses 27 to 32. Leviticus 23. Are you there? You are? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for our adventurers, our deacons, our deaconesses, our elders, all our Sabbath school teachers, the ladies that work so diligently in the kitchen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For you have gifted our church. Are we perfect? No. But you are faithful. And now, Lord, would you please present this topic, the three threes and two twos of atonement, so that what could be very confusing, puzzling right now will be made crystal clear, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Starting with verse 27. Also, on the 10th day of the month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, and you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord our God. For whatever soul it be that shall not afflict their souls in that same day, he or she shall be cut off from among this people, his people. And whatsoever soul it be that does any work in that same day, the same soul shall be destroyed from amongst his people. You shall do no manner of work, and it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at evening, even unto evening shall you celebrate your Sabbaths. So let's make some sense out of this. Let's look at the very first three. Three times in that passage, the word atonement is used. You'll find that in 27 and 28. And we need to look at why the case may be, and here's why. Atonement is kafar. It means to cover, figurative, to expiate, to atone for sin, or cancel, appease, make an atonement, cleanse, forgive, be merciful. Are you getting the idea? Atonement on the Day of Atonement was made for the children of Israel to wipe away their record of sin that collected all year long. Placed on the sanctuary. For the one time during the year, the high priest only gets to go into the most holy place. No one was to be in the sanctuary area. And the purpose of his arrival there is to wipe away the record of your sin, my sin. Cleanse me. Expiate. Purge. Put away. Pay the debt. To purify. That's what happened. By the way, we need to look at the Hebrew word for atonement, and that's katalage, and that means exchange, figuratively, adjustment. That is, restore to divine favor. Come on, folks. Hallelujah is the right response. To restore us to divine favor for our sins, as Isaiah said, has separated us from God. And on the Day of Atonement, the high priest went into the most holy place after a strict regimen in order to take the record of sin off the sanctuary and take it off of me and you and put it on the scapegoat. And send the scapegoat way out to get lost forever in the wilderness. Is anybody happy? Come on, are you missing the point? Jesus' death on the cross made that possible. Yes, praise the Lord. And so here's how it's put in Leviticus 16:30, for on that day the priest shall make atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all of your sin before the Lord. Yeah. Now you're catching on. Yeah. This is stuff worth hallelujahing about, if that's even a word. I don't know. And so, let's take a look at the second three. Atonement is first, and second is afflict. Now, I'm not going to go through this. There are seven feasts in the religious calendar of the Jewish nation. Seven. But the only one that says you must afflict your soul is on what? The Day of Atonement. Three times, 27, 29, 31. What does ranah mean? It's a primitive root with the idea of looking down, a bowing down, to depress, literally, physically, transitively, intransitively, abase self, afflict, affliction, afflict self, answer, gentleness, humble, self, submit self, weaken in any way. How are we doing in this category? Come on. Are you humble? Or when somebody crosses you, do you use worldly methods to deal with that person? You take your Christianity, you set it aside, you go to work, and then you go back here and take your Christianity back. Humble yourself. You know, the Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. And how often do we lift ourselves up, huh? How often do we change the commands of God to fit our desires? Oh, I'm going to name some. We're to afflict our souls. Three times it reminds us this is the Day of Atonement. Get your act together. For God is going to wipe away your sin if you afflict your souls. Not once, not twice, but three times it says afflict. I got to show you this. Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any of you will come after me, you want to read it with me? Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Yeah, amen. Are we denying ourselves? Or are we holding on to certain things? We, not you. Certain things because we don't want to deny it. And take up your cross daily. What is your cross? The burden that you carry by being a Christian, which if you weren't a Christian, you could do it without feeling guilty. Three times, afflict yourself. I want you to think, God put this on my heart. Folks, the high priest is in the most holy place. When he enters on the Day of Atonement, the whole congregation was to surround the sanctuary and to humble themselves. They didn't wear jewelry. They didn't have a Coke or a coffee before they came to the sanctuary. They didn't dare do that because at that moment, the high priest was going to wipe away the sins. Many people knelt down and they said, Lord, I haven't been paying a tithe. I even claimed that I couldn't afford it. And I now apologize. Because a tenth belongs to you. And I've been keeping it for me. They humbled themselves. And of all the seven feasts, never does it say afflict your soul. Never. And by the way, the importance of that will be seen in a second. But before we do, let's look at the third three. Work. Do no work. Even your cattle, your beavers, your bees. Now, friends, let me tell you something. This, to me, is a spiritual meaning here. A deep depth spiritual meaning. Are any of us working our way to heaven? On the Day of Atonement, there's no facade, folks. You either humble yourself and give it all to God, or your sins were not being wiped off at that moment. You're not to work. You're to learn before the Day of Atonement how to rely totally on God. And I'll tell you, when you lose your temper and you're ready to tear into someone, even for a good reason, if you do, then what you need to do is go, Lord, I am sorry. Help me to stop this. That goes for anything we're holding on to. Lord, I'm sorry. Help me. Send more of the Spirit. Wake me up. I can see the Israelite community on the Day of Atonement came with fear and trembling around the sanctuary. They weren't audacious and they weren't overt. They weren't, you know, I'm going to wear my best suit. I'm going to wear my prettiest. None of that. I'm going to get there and I'm going to tell the Lord, if I've messed up in anything, I apologize. And when I get up, change me. The Day of Atonement, three threes. Are we doing this? Are we putting it off? I can worry about this later. I don't have to do it now. And so the name work is properly deputyship, ministry. And by the way, don't think you don't do well. Wait a minute. Ooh, an instant thought. On the Day of Atonement, the only ministry you should be doing is humbling yourself. Hey, you know, one of the hardest things for me when I was baptized in the Seventh Day Adventist Church is I could no longer watch college football on Saturdays. Now, for you, you laugh, but for me, that was hard. But the commandment says that you don't do that on the Sabbath. And when I was a youth minister, I would enjoy that because I was a youth minister, and the kids would come up and they'd go, Pastor, my daddy goes home and swears at my mommy after church. And I've got those same tendencies. There's my cross. That's just one of them. I can't wait for the sun to set on Sabbath to see the scores, which I think is not good either. Don't do any work. We got to learn how to rely on Jesus. We, too many of us, rely on ourselves. And that is not righteousness by faith. Okay, let's keep moving here. So now we got 1-2, the first two. Two times in verse 27, the first verse, and 32, the last verse, it says, Holy Convocation 27, and the Sabbath in verse 32. Now, a holy convocation, and this is from a secular source now. Holy convocation is a sacred assembly where believers come together in unity to seek who? To seek God. Be empowered and aligned with His purposes for their lives and their ministries. The term convocation comes from the Bible and means a sacred meeting. Sacred. Do we come to church every Sabbath? Holy convocation. God is waiting for us to show up. By the way, look at, in order to seek God, not so people can see my new suit, or so that people know I'm an elder because I come to church, but I really wish I was somewhere else. Why am I being this way, folks? I'm being this way because I struggle. And the Israelites, man, they ran to the sanctuary and they threw themselves on the ground. They didn't cover their ears. All they wanted to hear was the bells on the robe of the high priest kept tinkling, because that meant he was still alive in the presence of God in my behalf and going to take the sins off of me, the sanctuary, bring them out and put them on the scapegoat, which is Satan. Holy convocation, and then the second thing is, well, it's still the first two. The Sabbath is a holy convocation, a sacred assembly where believers come together in unity to seek God, be empowered, and aligned with His purposes for their lives and their ministries. Friends, and those of you on the internet, if you have the ability to come to church and aren't, you are not receiving those benefits. Can anybody say amen? Am I right? Are you sure? If you want time to think and pray about it, go ahead, because God's going to say the same thing to you He says to me. And by the way, it goes for Sabbath school. The Day of Atonement is coming. Sabbath school happens before church. I better make sure I'm there, because there the Bible is open before the people, and it'll prepare me for the worship service. Sleep isn't more important. My heart hurts most every Sabbath when just before I get up to preach, a bunch of people come through the door. That's not seeking God. A sermon isn't going to save us. It's us afflicting our souls, doing no work of our own. Let God work through us. And we all have to stop being like me. So, the Sabbath is a holy convocation. And then, I want to share Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together in the manner of some, but exhort one another so much the more as you see what? The day of approaching. Now, in light of the sermon, what day is that reference to? The Day of Atonement. You see, folks, it's so incredible. Preparing for this, I saw things. All year long, they came with sacrifices. They confessed their sins. And the priest took the sacrifices, the blood. Some of them ate part of the sacrifice, sprinkled in the sanctuary, poured it out, leaving a record of my sin. I'm now free and forgiven, and I left. But the record of my sin still sits on the sanctuary. And one time a year, the high priest shows up. And that wasn't correct, by the way. And wipes off the record of Peter and Mary's sins. What kind of person should I be as we move up towards that day? And we all have room for improvement. The second two, cut off, destroy. Folks, this isn't in any of the other feasts. Verse 29 and verse 30. If you don't afflict yourself, you're going to be cut off from the congregation. And if you do any work, you're going to be destroyed. No, we are going to be destroyed. That solemn time calls for solemn behavior, solemn and sacred devotion to God, an admitting of our faults and mistakes and shortcomings, confessing to God and anybody you've offended. See, the other person, I'm not responsible for them to act like a Christian, but I'm responsible for me to act like a Christian. The Day of Atonement is a time of judgment. And when is that time? When is that time? It's now. See, that's what's interesting about this. There's a little twist here. For you see, in 1844, Jesus left the holy place and entered into the most holy place where he remains right now. And when he did that, he is now wiping the record of penitent sinners clean. We are living in what's called the anti-typical Day of Atonement. By the way, I forgot to tell you this. Thank you, Lord. They fasted on that day. They didn't bring their Starbucks coffee full of caffeine, which is a drug, to the sanctuary. Lay it aside. I'm humbling myself. I better not eat that. That's not healthy. We have a responsibility. This is the temple of the living God. So you see, all of what happened on the Day of Atonement translates to you and I now. And folks, let me tell you something. It dawned on me that the other nations, full of people surrounding Jerusalem, benefited nothing from the Day of Atonement. And I guarantee you, God will reach them a different way. We should be inviting them in on the Day of Atonement, which is right now. And the longer we delay, the weaker we become. until the world overwhelms us and we in the end are cut off. The agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. Great changes are soon to take place in the world, and the final movements will be what? Rapid ones. Seven times Moses said no to God before God got mad, and Moses said, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. You read your Bible. I'll do it. I'm amazed. God gave him seven chances. God gives me chances. These final movements could be any moment. What do I base that on? The world situation. Not only that, the United States is recalling freedoms. The great controversy said it would happen. It's happening. And so he said, Peter, shut up and just do what I said. And I go, yes, sir. Remember, he said to the woman caught in adultery, stop it. That's what he said. Stop it, or a worse thing will happen to you. Those who are living upon the earth, when the intercession of Christ shall cease in the sanctuary above, are to stand in the sight of a holy God without a mediator. Are you ready for that? Am I? Their robes must be spotless. Their characters must be purified from sin by the blood of sprinkling. Through the grace of God and their own diligent effort, they must be conquerors in the battle with evil. Now, let me repair something here, if you're quick. Like I'm not always. It says here, through the grace of God and your own efforts. What are your own efforts? Peter, stop it, or a worse thing will happen. Yes, God. And as Susan just yelled out, humble yourself. While the investigative judgment is going forward in heaven right now, started in 1844, and isn't God merciful that he started that long ago? Right? How many years did he preach to the giants at Noah's Ark who were brilliant of mind? Because they were close to creation. How many years? 120. So certainly with us, he's given us over 120 years. Because we are fallen farther than they had fallen. While the sins of penitent believers are being removed from the sanctuary, one hallelujah, Lord. Aren't we slow of heart, Lord? Praise God. There is to be a special work of purification, of putting away of sin among God's people upon the earth. This work is more clearly presented in the messages of Revelation 14. Great controversy. 425. Jesus is in heaven right now. And when I pray, Jesus takes my prayers and hands them personally to the Father. You know why? Because Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for Peter Neary, for us. He's still working. Father in heaven, I want to thank you that you are so tolerant, patient. You know, it says that you're merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. And all those aspects of you, Lord, are true, and often we act like you don't even exist sometimes. Forgive us all, Lord, and help us to take to heart whatever it was that you wanted each of us to gain from having this message. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's stand together and sing our closing hymn. We started with the book of Jude, and we will end with the book of Jude. Let us pray. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.